Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WEI Celtics Podcast with Sam Packard.
Welcome into the WEEI Celtics Podcast, another summer edition. I am your host, Sam Packard. You can find me on Twitter at SamPackardNBA. Today we're going to be talking to Celtics second-round draft pick Abdel Nader, who's been doing great things in Summer League and really showing potential, maybe grabbing that last roster spot. I spoke with Abdel. This is actually a conversation I had with him back in May during the pre-draft process. I was doing a little bit of a project talking to a number of players from the elite skills training down in Miami, where I know the player development guy down there, Nick Friedman. So I was talking to Abdel just about his game and how he's trying to improve before the draft. I thought it was a pretty interesting conversation that still had it was a kind of general discussion of his drive, his path, and kind of what he's working on to try and improve in the NBA. So I thought it definitely still applied now that he's doing big things for the Celtics. And then after that, I'm going to talk to Nick Friedman, who's also he's a good friend of mine. He's the player development coach down with the elite skills training. He's also a graduate assistant at University of Miami. He coached Abdel, did a lot of work with him pre-draft. So I'm going to talk to him about Abdel's game. And then Nick was also at Summer League, so just to get his perspective on the different Celtics prospects from a player development standpoint, that'll be the second conversation. So right now, we're going to go to my conversation with Abdel back in May. Tell me about your path. I knew you went to high school in Chicago and then spent some times at Northern Illinois and now at Iowa State. Was this always like a dream for you playing basketball growing up? When did it kind of start the thinking maybe you could make it to a D1 college?
Well, yeah, I mean, my whole life, ever since I was like 7, I wanted to play basketball, you know. And I was actually born in Alexandria, Egypt. I moved to the Chicagoland area when I was like 5 or 6. And from there, it's really just been basketball. You know, like I grew up playing in the parks. So when I got to high school, I went to a high school on the north side of Chicago, on the north side suburbs of Chicago called Niles North. And from there, I played there 2 years. I played at a different previous high school two years before that. And then I went to Northern Illinois, straight out of high school. And to be honest, it hit me when I played D1. I always thought, ever since I was a kid, like I never doubted myself. I always thought that I could play in the NBA and that I would play in the NBA. So, I mean, it didn't really ever hit me. I just always aspired for that. You know, I kind of had a feeling it was going to happen.
Now, is it possible? I was just talking to actually to James Webb about this same thing. I've never like stepped on a basketball court and knew I was the best player on the court. Is there any way you can like kind of put that into words, that confidence you have that one day you're eventually going to make it the NBA, that you are this good? Because I'm still struggling to kind of understand it.
I don't know if I can name one specific day, but yeah, I've definitely had that feeling where you step on the court. I mean, even now I step on the court, I feel like I'm the best basketball player on the court, you know? And I feel like this is something that develops over time. Like, you have to gain that confidence through hard work and things like that, you know?
So, I'm imagining you have been practicing basketball your entire life, and there's probably days where you don't want to go to practice, or you don't want to do that next suicide, or you don't want to do that next drill. Kind of what keeps driving you to come back and come for more? What's making you show up at the gym every day?
Well, for me, I kind of just love it, man. Everything about it, I'm always having fun at the gym. Like, that's my stress reliever from everything else. It's like my outlet. So, and I'm always having fun getting better. So, it's really easy for me. But obviously, you will have days where, like, man, I'm tired, all this stuff. And this thing is just a drive to become the best basketball player I can be.
You obviously you came to Iowa State and only played about 15 minutes a game in your junior year, and then kind of took a bigger leap in your senior year, and especially from the 3-point line, your percentage went up by I think it was 16-17%. What was the big reason for that change? What made you able to take that leap heading into your senior season?
Well, like I said, I just wanted to play in the NBA and I wanted to give myself the best shot. So, I mean, I've always been a hard worker, but I cranked it up going into that senior year. Just lived in the gym, and I think it paid off a lot. I lost a bunch of weight, got my jumper back right, worked on my whole total package.
Oh, is there something specific with your 3-point jumper? I know I think I read an interview with Basketball Insiders that said you kind of felt more comfortable in your role as a senior and were able to take kind of more threes. Was there something specific you were working on in between your junior and senior season that like allowed you to kind of be more successful from three?
Just repetition. Reps to everything, shooting to defending to skill work, like with ball handling, stuff like that. I just kept a bunch of repetition. I think repetition or anything that you work at all the time, you're just going to get better at it. And I think I became a more natural shooter that way.
Now, you're doing work with Nick right now at the Elite Camp. Is there specific things you're working on that you know NBA teams are looking for? Is there specific skills you're trying to showcase before the draft?
Well, yeah, I want to continue to show the ability. I think I'm an elite-level shooter, and I can be in the NBA. And I just want to continue showing that I can shoot the ball at a high clip. Like I said, it's and I also want to show that I'm a very good defender. I know I can defend at a high level.
You had coaches at Northern Illinois, coaches at Iowa State. Now you're working with Nick now. Is there anything that like a good coach does that kind of to get the best out of you? Like what? How do you know a good coach, or how do you know you're being coached by a good coach?
Well, a good coach, any good coach will push you. And I think if coaches don't get after their guys and demand like the best that they could give and roll with the hard workers on the team, I think that's one thing that shows signs of a good coach. And another thing is just being able, as a coach, being able to give your team confidence in the fact that they can win, that they all could play, things like that.
So do you know, like, your specific style? Because coaches will say that you kind of treat different players differently. So some players you can challenge and say, like, really hold them accountable and say, you need to step up here, you need to play better. Other players you have to kind of build up their confidence and compliment them more. What do you respond to? Kind of what gets you going and makes you want to work harder?
I don't have a confidence issue. I'm very confident myself, so I don't need people sitting there telling me all the stuff that I want to hear. But like I said, I feel like that should come more from the player. As a coach, yeah, you just gotta get after your guys. But as a player, you want to be the best you can be. So I think I do a good job of holding my own self accountable.
Now, how much of your preparation for the draft is working on kind of the physical side, the more athleticism? Because in the NBA, one of the biggest things that's valuable is that kind of versatility, the ability to guard multiple positions. So you got to have the quickness to guard point guards, but then also maybe the size to guard some threes and fours. How much of this is just kind of a physical preparation for kind of that work in the NBA?
Well, yeah, a ton of it is physical. And like I said, that comes with reps, not just like shooting up jumpers, but things like I'm working down here with in the Elite Skills Academy, like working on my lateral quickness. I lost like 7-8 more pounds, so I'm quicker. And I think that stuff goes a long way. It's not just on the court stuff, but things you need to do to become the best player you can.
For someone who hasn't seen you play, how would you describe your game? What kind of style player are you? Or what kind of style player do you want to be if you do make it to the NBA?
Well, I'm a very good defender. I think that's one thing that's going to open a lot of people's eyes. Also, my shooting ability. I can shoot the ball at a high clip. So those are two main things. And I'm also a very good teammate. Like I said, I want all my teammates to do as good as they can. Big team guys. So I always want to win no matter what, even if we're playing open gym, things like that, just my motor, so things like that.
Now, what would you say your best kind of skill is on defense? I know you have a pretty long wingspan. Is it positioning? You get a lot of steals. I know you said you're working on your quickness. What is your kind of your – is there a go-to – there's not obviously not a go-to move on defense, but what do you think you're really an area of strength for you?
Well, yeah, I think my length helps me a lot. I mean, I have a 7'1 wingspan. I'm 6'7", so I have a decent body, so I can guard – bigger guards, I can guard. I'm quick enough to guard smaller guards, and because my length, I give them like a step or two, things like that. I think it's more of me figuring out better ways to guard certain players, you know, because not everybody's the same guy. So some guys you have to, and that just comes with the, some guys you have to guard differently. So that just comes with the mental aspect a bit more too.
Nick told me that you do watch a lot of film. How much does that apply to your game and kind of trying to improve right now so you can be ready to show off for individual workouts? Is there something where – is that something you did at Northern Illinois? How long have you been watching film on yourself?
Well, man, to be honest, I didn't start until I really got to Iowa State just because I got addicted to it because I used to sit down with assistant coach – or Fred, when I first got there, and we would just watch film for a while. So from there, I just kind of got addicted to it. I got my own Synergy account and been watching film a lot ever since. And not just on myself, but other players as well.
Are there specific players in the NBA now that you try to model your game after, or specific players you watch that do kind of play your position really well?
Well, to be honest, when I was a kid, I used to admire Bruce Bowen because I thought he was a really tough guy. He shot the three well. He was able to defend, and that's something that I kind of see myself doing. And in today's game, I really like Klay Thompson. I watch a lot of film on him, too, because I think they're very similar. He's a two-way player. He's just a little bit better scorer. So I watch a ton of both of them.
Now, this is kind of a difficult question. I asked James Webb this, too, and he didn't really know how to answer it, but I'm going to try and ask it anyway. Like, so how does watching film translate to you playing in a game? Are you looking for specific things that you do, and are you thinking about that consciously while you're playing, or is it just kind of getting those mental reps so that it's in the back of your head that you need to maybe take an extra step here, or maybe you can pump fake on this guy? How does, like, the film translate to actual on the court?
Well, yeah, that's easy. I think it's just mental reps. When you watch something enough and you know the positioning, like I could speak defensively for a fact, like when you just watch that stuff constantly and you're like, oh, I have to be here, I should be here. You're watching with a coach or somebody who knows, who understands the game as well. Like, it just becomes natural. In the game, of course, you're not going to be sitting there thinking like, hey, I should do this or do that. It just comes naturally, and I think that helps with watching it and watching yourself. And also, I'm a big fan of watching other people too. So you can pick up not only on your own tendencies but others and learn from it.
Did you ever have a moment where you were at Iowa State where you made the right play or something you said, yeah, I picked that. I did that well because I picked it up on film? Or is there something where you can like identify like, oh, I was able to succeed because of all those hours I spent watching film?
Yeah. I mean, the way I think of it is just all the time from watching film to being at the gym to taking care of my body. I think, like, all that stuff is a part of the job, you know? And it all accumulates and ends up making you a better basketball player.
All right, then last question. A lot of players, even after they get drafted, end up in the D League, and that's not the most glamorous lifestyle. Do you give any thought to maybe going and playing in Europe, or is the main dream playing in the NBA?
No, the main dream is definitely playing in the NBA, and I'm going to do it, so.
All right, so whatever it takes to be in the NBA, even if that means, like, riding the D League bus, that's okay with you?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I don't know about the answer for that.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining me, Abdel, and I appreciate you taking your time.
For sure. I appreciate it, man. No problem. Anytime.
All right. Thank you. Well, you can hear from that, Abdel Nader is not short on confidence. Definitely does not want to play in the D-League, would like to be an NBA player. And that's kind of the big question for him moving forward, is whether or not the Celtics are going to sign him with an agreement he's going to play in the D-League, whether he's going to get that kind of that full NBA contract. It's been reported right out of the draft that he was going to go to the D-League, but right now it's up in the air. He's definitely not lacking confidence, which is something you'd like to see in an NBA player. To get greater perspective on Abdel's game and the rest of the Celtics Summer League, now I'm going to talk to Nick Friedman, player development coach at the Elite Skills Training in Miami. We go now to Nick Friedman. He is a player development coach with the Elite Skills Training in Miami. He's also a graduate assistant at the University of Miami, and he was coached Abdel Nader during the pre-draft camp. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging, man. You know, like we talked on our other podcast, I'm chilling in Miami, enjoying this weather, getting ready for my day.
Can you just tell the listeners kind of what the pre-draft camp was and who else you had there in addition to Abdel?
Well, it's a three-month process. We go from the end of March, essentially when the NCAA tournament begins, for any guys who are eliminated, who are, you know, draft eligible and think they have a shot at getting drafted, all the way through the draft. Our pro day was June 4th. So essentially a three-month process. This year we had a pretty extensive group. We had 21 guys participate in the Summer League overall, including two draft picks in Torian Prince and Abdel Nader, and a number of partial guarantees. James Webb, for instance, Cat Barber, who wasn't partially guaranteed, but had he not broken his orbital, I think he would have been a no-brainer signee, in my opinion, and a number of other guys. So, you know, the process entails just getting these guys ready conceptually for the next level, understanding how to get their own within the confines of NBA sets, making sure that their motor is at the highest level possible, their condition in the highest level possible, and toning everything that they're already good at while, you know, attacking and defining some weaknesses for them going forward and eliminating some of them in that three-month process and, you know, keeping this Boston relevant. There is no one in our camp that took more advantage of their time with us than Abdel Nader.
Well, that's what I wanted to focus on. Can you just kind of talk about your impression of his game coming into camp, and what do you think his main strengths were, and kind of how you saw him grow during that 3 month process?
Well, first and foremost, I think he became a far more dynamic playmaker. Not the, you know, most skillful passer, and doesn't create as often for his teammates in some situation as you would like, but he's become a lot more fluid as a ball handler than he was three and a half months ago. You know, he's really gotten himself in shape. He's dropped 12 to 15 pounds in that time span. He's really accelerating towards the rim. He plays with a lot of force. You know, it's for a lot of people, even though in my opinion, I think it's an ideal situation to train in, Miami's tough to be in if you're not focused. And for Abdul, the kid approached every single day with a sense of urgency. He never went out, and you know, I got that from multiple sources, took advantage of his, you know, of every single day, whether it was a recovery day or a training day, and it showed. You know, and a lot of people may tell you, oh, okay, a lot of guys could have been taken with the 58th pick. It's not exactly the best, you know, decision to get drafted that late. They have your rights. You may not make as much money. But for him, you know, having his name and, you know, called on draft night was huge for him and huge for his confidence, and it showed in Summer League.
Yeah, in Summer League, where the Celtics basically going into the season, they're going to need some wing depth behind Jay Crowder. They drafted Jaylen Brown, but there is kind of another spot there, and you would think that role would go to James Young going into his third season. But so far in Summer League, Abdel Nader's basically played himself into that role. He's done a little bit of everything. I think Celtics fans have been most impressed by his ability to drive to the basket and finish with authority.
He's a hell of a straight line driver. Hell of a straight line driver.
Now, when I talked to you a couple months ago about him, you were really bullish on kind of his 3-point shooting. So I was surprised by his ability to kind of take it to the rim. Is that something you worked on? What do you think the biggest skill you tried to work on with Abdel during that pre-draft program?
Well, we just really tried to make him more fluid and less predictable with the ball in his hands. He's doing a much better job with it. He's still, you know, as he goes to the rim, his only real counter is a spin, as you may have noticed. But he's getting better. You know, it's funny. You read a lot of these articles and opinions on people of Twitter, and they note him as not a particularly good three-point shooter, which in, you know, is clearly his best asset, even though his numbers may say he shot, you know, below 30% for three of his four college seasons. And his last season, he broke out for 37% from three. But he really is an elite-level three-point shooter. He's got to become a little bit more comfortable with the pace of the game. But, you know, he shoots the ball well. He's got NBA athleticism. He has NBA strength. He can guard four positions. He can play a little bit of post. He needs to work on it. He needs to get a little bit more familiar, right, you know, down on the block and in the mid-post. But I think in terms of what Boston's roster is looking like right now, he provides more value on both ends than an RJ Hunter. And he's your, you know, your ideal, you know, wing. You know, and his upside is great. He works his tail off. Wouldn't want to have anybody else in the organization at that position.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really impressed me when I was going back through his kind of stats in his career, just kind of that building from junior college and that consistent drive to get better and then that major improvement in his senior year. It's kind of
well,
like,
not junior college, Sam. Not junior college.
Where
Northern
was it?
Illinois.
Northern Illinois. Oh, sorry about that. Lesser tiered college. But that consistent work ethic, it's something you see throughout the Celtics roster, and even on Isaiah Thomas or a player like Jay Crowder, is kind of that drive to get better. And it's not really something we've seen with James Young so far. He kind of came out from Kentucky and really hasn't done anything in his first 3 years. So,
You know, I was talking to Jay Larinaga. I'll never forget this conversation nearly 2 years ago. It was at one of our camps at UM, and we were just talking about what do they really pinpoint the most when they're evaluating guys in terms of personality. And it all stems from the love of the game. And when you find guys in your culture that truly love the game, it's easy to work with. And Abdul is one of those guys. He fits that mold. He fits Boston's culture.
That's really funny that you say that, because every single kind of time Brad Stevens ever answered a question about Evan Turner last year, that was the first thing he'd bring it up. He's like, he loves playing basketball, and anyone can like play for Brad Stevens if they really truly love the game. And it's
like, Sam, I'm telling you, man, like, there would be stretches this summer. Abdul is one of those kids where if you're a, you know, quote unquote borderline guy, you could be seeing upwards 20 workouts in the pre-draft period, and that's a lot on your body. You know, traveling, just going from workout to workout, you'll be on the road for 2 weeks straight and have maybe 3 days off in that time span. So for him, it's like he comes back from a 2 week road trip. I'll never forget. He immediately hits me up. He's like, man, I got to get in the gym. Like, I got to. I was like, what? You know, why are we getting in the gym? You just came back from a 2 week road trip. I've been hearing you're killing workouts and shooting the piss out of the ball. He's just like, you can't keep him out of there. And, you know, when you got a kid like that in your hands, man, it's hard to pass up.
So great things to hear about Abdel Nader if you're a Celtics fan. Now, Rick, you are also also at Summer League in Vegas watching a lot of games. And I know the Celtics player who really stood out the most was Terry Rozier. I know you have you worked out with Rozier last year. Can you just talk about kind of the progression in his game? Because it seems like he's always had that elite athleticism, but it seems like he's really gotten better at kind of making decisions in the pick and roll and being more finishing at the rim, which was never something I thought he'd be great at. So can you just talk about his progression and kind of, as someone who's like worked him out, what do you think about his game right now?
Well, I think the most noticeable thing in Terry's game from last year was that he was playing to just be on the floor. And when you just play to be on the floor, you obviously play reserve and hesitant. And when watching Terry at Louisville and seeing him in the pre-draft process, he played with an awesome sense of reckless abandon. And I think what we're seeing is his confidence really emerging, that sense of reckless abandon really emerging. And it's showing the type of dynamic playmaker and scoring lead guard that he really is. I mean, he's truly an asset, man. Like a trade of, like, if you are to think about him in that sense, you know, someone who you would have difficulty even trading. You know, just seeing Terry play with that sense of confidence is, it's satisfying. It's great to see him play. at that level. So
it makes sense because the second-year point guard, like first-year in point guard in the NBA, it's going to be just difficult with decision-making, but we've really seen in summer league him kind of hone that explosiveness and knowing exactly when he's going to burst and get into the lane and start making plays. And just his jumping ability is kind of scary. If he can ever just do that consistently, I think he's going to be a major person to kind of get Evan Turner's minutes, because Turner was the backup ball handler for the second unit, and it would make sense that those minutes would go to Rozier, maybe a little bit of Marcus Smart.
I've said it once and I've said it again. If you put Terry Rozier in a situation where he's not afraid to make mistakes and take risks, you're really going to see a new level of Terry Rozier's game.
That's the trouble with just kind of being a rookie in the NBA and being on like a successful team like the Celtics, because they're still competing, and Brad Stevens doesn't really... It's hard to put a guy who might make consistent mistakes, because he's really focused on winning basketball games. It's less of a development focus. But I think as Rozier gets better, you're going to see him those mistakes go down and him definitely get more playing time.
Yeah, and he was incredibly efficient at Summer League.
Yeah, I think he shot something like 65%, which is absurd.
Yeah, and he ranked top five in player efficiency. He was great. He was great. It was a big step for his career.
Now, the two other guys you have to focus on if you're talking Celtics Summer League, where you want to go first, Jalen Brown or the Dancing Bear?
Dancing Bear.
Let me know what your thoughts on the Dancing Bear. He's
Yabusele!
Huge. I know I texted you after that sweet dunk. Obviously, I don't think you've seen much of his game because he's been playing in France, but seeing him live in person, what was your impressions of kind of his body and is able to be that quick at that size?
He's an absolute truck. He's defined. Obviously he may look heavy, but in person, I mean, he's cut. He's got his weight is pretty proportional. I mean, the kid can shoot threes. He can attack a closeout. He's instinctive. He can make plays. He's awesome, in time, I think he'll really develop into a true floor spacer. He's dynamic in the post. He's unpredictable down there. He's, really good in that role of having the ball in his hands at the top of the key and initiating handoffs and refusing handoffs. He was a great pick. Great pick.
Some people thought it was a bit of a reach, but you know what? In likelihood, he's going to be a draft and stash, and so the Celtics have a real tight roster. So if they thought he's going to be this talented guy, it would make sense to kind of just go and get him and not really wait and hope he falls.
Yeah.
Now, the next guy. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say, just the next guy, everyone's kind of the number three pick, very excited about Jalen Brown. Obviously, he's got that elite athleticism, and he's really shown an ability to get to the line. At the same time, he isn't really the greatest finisher at this point, and he's not going to get those same calls once he's actually playing in the NBA. But I was just kind of curious about what you think Jalen Brown needs to work on and improve on if he's going to become a more consistent player moving forward.
Well, first and foremost, the kid's an absolute man. And he's somebody who can compete on any NBA roster right now physically. So that's, first and foremost. Secondly, I would just say, he's somebody from, a mechanical standpoint in his jump shot. It's not far off. If you rep him out and you give him NBA instruction, I think he's really going to take a jump there. Obviously, he's got to be a little bit more of a dynamic ball handler. You'll see, instances where he'll make a single or a double move that's, pretty impressive and be able to get to a spot and pull up in his mid-range. He's a hell of a rebounder. I think, obviously, would anybody have wanted to have Chris Dunn in their roster? Probably we were in a situation where if you pick him, you compromise a young guy in Terry Rozier, you compromise the rest of your the guards in your roster. Jalen Brown is impressive, and I think going forward, he's a hell of a project.
I just want to go back to his shot mechanics. For people out there who haven't been looking at stuff like that, what should you be looking for to make sure, to see that he's making that improvement? A lot of people have talked about his footwork. He's not always lined up. What should Celtics fans be looking for if they're trying to say, he's making strides in his mechanics for his shot?
I would just say, if you're truly paying attention to the nuances of the game and just, how consistent is he in his shot prep? Does he catch the ball the same way every single time going into a shot? Is he a one-piece shooter? You know, I'm not exactly familiar with Boston's, philosophy on shooting the ball, but for the most part, NBA teams stress one-piece shooting, you know, no real hitch in their shot from the point of catch to the point of release. There's no you know, stops in between there. So, looking at those things for Jalen, and, I just think, personally, I need to spend more time with him in the gym to be able to truly analyze his mechanics. But from what I saw in Summer League, I think he's got a workable ceiling. So.
Yeah, that's one of the things a lot of the draft people I've talked to talk about Jaylen Brown is that he's kind of a no-fail prospect just based on his athleticism alone. He's going to be able to play defense in this league, and it's just a question of how great he actually becomes. And it sounds like...
And more importantly, the kid is a competitor. I mean, you play every single Summer League game. You play every single Summer League game with an elite-level motor. That's something to be very, very satisfied in. And when you have that level of competitiveness and drive to be good with his ceiling and his physicality, it's, you got to be happy with what you got.
The kid does not lack confidence. You see him talking about he'll rest when he's dead or something like that. And I saw that quote on Twitter and I thought he was joking. And then I went back and watched the video and he's 100% serious. And again, it's kind of a theme that we talked about in all the successful players is that high motor, but then also that confidence in your game. If you don't believe in yourself, it's really going to be difficult for others to believe in you and for you to kind of take that next step forward.
When I had seen him play at the City of Palms, which is a yearly tournament in Fort Myers, he was the best high school basketball player I'd ever seen in person. And it stuck in my mind. And then when I saw him play throughout this year, he kind of dropped in my liking just because of his inability to really shoot the ball. I thought he shot it better in high school. But from what I saw him play in that three-game stretch. And, I like him. I like him.
He was in kind of a tough situation at Cal. I didn't think they had the best roster around him, but again, he's only 19, and he was, you're right, I think he was the second highest rated player in high school after Ben Simmons. But
yeah.
I just want to pivot right now. You spent a bunch of time in Vegas at Summer League watching all the games. Are there any other players out there that kind of stuck out to you just from a general standpoint, non-Celtics players?
Well, you got to love the traveling veteran. And in this year's, the undersized scoring combo point, if you will, and Jonathan Gibson from Dallas, who signed a 3-year partial from what I've seen in reports. High volume scorer, was in China. He averaged roughly over 36 points a game. The dude was efficient. He was potent as can be. He was really impressive in my mind. Milwaukee kind of had another guy of that mold, not as efficient in scoring the ball, but a super athlete in Rashad James. I thought those two guys were pretty impressive. Torian Prince, got to give a shout out to my man. The kid is, proving he's every bit worthy of being a lottery pick. Just impacts the game. Got to get better laterally on the defensive end, but I mean, he's savvy. He's a playmaker. He can do more with the ball in his hands than his comparison to a Damari Carroll. I really am high on him. The kid that was hilarious to watch, and it's going to be very interesting to see if Vlade Divac's evaluation really pans out. But the kid Papagiannis was
Papagiannis.
That was. There was one play, his first ever possession. He gets the ball on the post. He takes approximately 6 dribbles on the block, realizes he has nowhere to go, looks both directions, and throws the ball over his head for an air ball from 7 feet from the block. If you can check that out in Synergy and watch it again, it is amazing. But he, he's got some nice touch, with his push shots, and will refuse to really dunk the ball even though he's that close to the rim.
Yeah, that's the European heavy fundamentals right there.
Yeah, he's,
layup's worth 2 points. No need to get fancy and dunk that.
I wouldn't. Hey, if he pans out, he pans out. But
I don't know what the Kings are doing with him, Scalabossier, Willie Cauley-Stein, and DeMarcus Cousin.
Hey, I'll tell you this though, Scal's nice. Scal is nice.
You think he's a legit player? I mean, he slipped pretty far.
He can play. he can play. Scal, you know, people are sleeping on Scal. He's skillful. He's got to, you know, play with a little less, you know, finesse. He doesn't bang. He gets, you know, overwhelmed on the glass at times, can really get out rebounded. But, you know, from a skill standpoint, I'm really high on him. He can shoot the ball. He's young. I'm high on him. You know, and everybody, obviously, you know, we can go on and on about Thon Maker, and you know, let's try to find some other guys out there who really impressed.
All right. Any other observations from Summer League before we go?
Lastly, it's a much better event, in my opinion, than the Final Four. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an NBA guy and that's where ultimately I want to be. I just think it's a far more fluid and upfront networking event. You kind of feel a little bit slimy when you go to the Final Four. And then from a basketball standpoint, you know, obviously it's not the tradition of the NCAA tournament, but the sense of urgency that these guys play with, man, it's like all these dudes are just fighting for their career for a little bit of money. You know, to take that first step or that next big step in their career, and you don't see a dip in energy or urgency throughout the end of this thing. You know, if you watch it on TV, it's played at a very high level. It may not be the best basketball in the world, but there is no dip off in energy. It's awesome to be at, man. I think I recommend it to anybody who's a basketball fan.
All right. That was Nick Friedman, player development coach at Elite Skills Training Miami, also a graduate assistant at the University of Miami, also once was the quickest kid in Cambridge. Rick, thanks for joining me.
They used to call me Mighty Mouse, my man. Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse. That's what they call Isaiah Thomas, so that's a good connection here on the...
Nah, that's the real Damon Stoudemire right there.
Oh, yeah. Another Seattle native, I believe. I don't know. I could have just made that up.
I don't know where Damon Stoudemire is from, but...
We'll figure that out in post. All right, Rick. I appreciate you joining me, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for me, Sam Packer, here at the WEEI Celtics podcast. I want to say big thanks to Abdel Nader for talking to me back in May, and also thanks to Nick Friedman for joining me on the phone here today. If you guys enjoyed, please subscribe on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review. It would be very helpful to us. If you have any questions for me, you can reach me on Twitter at SamPackardNBA. Just want to say thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the WEEI Celtics Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.